Good morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is the Hoosier Ag Today morning podcast on Monday, the 17th of March, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller have the news today, including EPA working to clarify rules like WOTUS and preparing the next generation of women ag leaders. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin predicts the cold air from the weekend will reverse course, accompanying dry conditions this week, and the Friday grain and oil seed markets were mixed, only beans higher. Market analysis with Brian Bastin coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
The EPA working on WOTUS and preparing the next generation of women to become ag leaders. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by McDonald's of Indiana. They proudly support local farmers. The Golden Arches source over 1.4 million dozen eggs, nearly 6 million pounds of pork, and more, all from right here in Indiana. They say thanks to our Indiana farmers for keeping them connected to the heart of our communities. Last week was a big week for the Environmental Protection Agency.
EPA will be reconsidering many suffocating rules that restrict nearly every sector of our economy and cost Americans trillions of dollars.
That's EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin with what he called the largest deregulatory announcement in U.S. history. The 31 regulatory changes include power plant emission standards and limits, greenhouse gas reporting requirements, and emission regulations for cars and trucks.
Today, the Green New Scam ends as the EPA does its part to usher in the golden age of American success. Our actions will lower the cost of living by making it more affordable to purchase a car, heat your home, and operate a business. Jobs will be created, especially in the U.S. auto industry, and our nation will become stronger for it.
This announcement came on the heels of Zeldin announcing the EPA would be working to clarify the waters of the U.S. rule, a years-long policy pain in the neck for farmers that has changed under each administration. Courtney Briggs, Senior Director of Government Affairs for Farm Bureau, says the news is not only welcome, it also provides much-needed course correction on a rule that had become overreaching.
It's really less about water and water quality. It's more about land rights and the ability to use your land without having to ask the federal government for permission. So it's a difficult task to write a WOTUS rule, but I think they're going to inject a lot of clarity and certainty. And our members, farmers and ranchers throughout this country, should be excited about this new announcement.
Farmers have been waiting for updated guidance on WOTUS for nearly 2 years. Since the Supreme Court decision in the Sackett versus EPA case. March is National Women's History Month, and CJ Miller joins us now to shine the spotlight on an organization that's helping prepare the next generation of women to become ag leaders.
Annie's project is dedicated to providing educational programs that are designed to strengthen women's roles on today's farms.
And that's Sam Schweppe, who serves as president of the board of directors of Annie's Project. She's also a dairy producer based out of DuBois County. Annie's Project is a nonprofit organization that provides educational resources and networking opportunities for women in agriculture.
We have a lot of online free webinars, and we have some sessions called In Just Plain Talk, where we break down the jargon and the complicated things that we have to learn about planning risk management for our farms. We partner with USDA and RMA for risk management training. Your local extension office may offer an Annie's Project educational opportunity as well.
Schweppe says she has grown significantly as an ag leader thanks to Annie's Project. She said she first became aware of the organization about 20 years ago.
And that was when I was just beginning to make like farm purchasing decisions for our family farm. And I learned very quickly what aspects of risk management I was not participating in and needed to do so. But then I also learned about grain marketing and where I was being taken advantage of price-wise. And that saved us a considerable amount of money once I learned about contracting grain and how basis works and when I should be charged basis and when I should not be charged basis.
Learn more about Annie's Project at anniesproject.org. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Got a little bit of a cold surge that pushed in over the weekend, but we shake that off pretty doggone quick here as we get started on this week. Temperatures today should be a good 10 to 15 degrees warmer than what we saw yesterday, and we will be dry for the next several days. We did not end up being very dry for Sunday, just some pesky wraparound cloud cover and drizzle. But none of that today, especially as we move into the afternoon. South flow is going to dominate. That's what pushes temperatures up. And then tomorrow we are quite warm all across the Hoosier State. Strong southwest flow. Temperatures may not equal what we saw as we moved into the start of the weekend and back into last Friday, but we will be quite mild. Wednesday, we're going to have to start looking for some changes. Major weather system coming together to our west. Strong low pressure moving across northeast Kansas into northern Missouri and eastern Iowa. The track of the low right now keeps the biggest precipitation farther west and north. Upper Midwest into the northern Great Lakes and rotating back down into eastern parts of the Central Plains. But we do see precipitation here. I think Wednesday mostly brings rain in the afternoon, anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch. Here's what I'm most concerned about. Wraparound backside moisture in a major cold air surge for Thursday. Temperatures are going to drop like a rock for Thursday and stay there into early Friday. So maybe we see the precipitation ending as some wet snowflakes. I just am doubting that it's a big batch. But then we are chilly for Friday before temperatures moderate into the weekend. With that moderating push of temperatures, we have to watch for a little bit of moisture trying to come across central and southern Indiana for the 22nd into the 23rd. By no means is this a whole state coverage. I think we're looking probably at 60%, mostly central and southern Indiana. We follow that up with some cooler air to finish the weekend and start the week of the 24th. And then the week of the 24th is going to be interesting. Cool air is reluctant to leave for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There's a big push of warm air surging over the western United States, but it does not get in here till likely close to the weekend of the 29th and 30th. So I'm suspecting that that last week of March is going to be cooler. Maybe not a lot of precipitation, but we have trouble breaking out of the cool air mass. But when we do, look out. Very warm temperatures then to finish the weekend and move into the month of April. It all gets kicked off with a strong frontal boundary, a warm front that passes through on Monday the 31st. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
From the Farm Bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Mostly lower grains and mostly higher soybeans throughout the Friday session. This is Hoosier Ag Today and the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis in the middle of the session. I checked in for that with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Mixed markets in the middle of the Friday session. The grain struggling to follow through on the buying from Thursday trade. Just a little higher in soybeans, but it is overall a struggle. And, Brian, that's really nothing new in recent weeks.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It has been a struggle. As you look back at the last part of February, of course, we saw the market really collapse when we saw the funds basically exit their long positions that they've been accumulating for quite some time. We did finally see a rebound rally here the first part of March, and now it's been choppy here lately, but struggle is a good word to use. We're seeing a lot of concern worldwide, nationwide, about the impact of tariffs, and specifically looking at a couple large customers of U.S. corn and soybeans. China at the top of the list, of course, with soybeans. Also looking at Europe, purchasing a fair amount of soybeans and some corn from the U.S. and what the ramifications may of these tariffs may be long term. And that's just spooked the market, for lack of a better phrase, here recently. We did see a decent rebound, but it's been a struggle to get that follow through. It seems like it's fits and starts. We're trying to see what the latest developments are. We are selling some corn. We had an announcement on Friday of an export sales of corn to unknown destinations. And we saw an export sale of soybean oil. So we're seeing some export business, but it's not enough to stem the tide for the time being. I do think I'd add, though, Andy, that there's a lot of factors coming up here that are going to move these markets besides tariffs. And I think the top of the list will be the Brazilian corn crop that is being really in the critical growing stages about 2 to 3 weeks out, plus or minus early June in the Midwest, if you will. We're not pollinating corn by any means, but by the middle of April, we'll be pollinating corn. So that's pre-pollination is a critical time period, as your listeners know, to get moisture for corn, because that is do or die time at pollination. So we'll be watching. It's a bit dry in Brazil, so that'll be something to watch. The other thing, Andy, of course, the end of the month on March 31st, we'll get two key reports from USDA, prospective plantings, and grain stocks. But going back to your original comment, it feels like until the funds get more comfortable with how this trade is going to develop, they may not be as anxious to add to those long positions as they were earlier this year.
Little more pressure, it seems, on a Friday on the grains than the soybean futures market. Any particular reason why? Is that still going back to the worldwide tariff uncertainty and fears?
I think part of that, Andy, is due to the fact that the funds, the managed money, if you will, still have a hefty long position in place in corn. We'll get a CFTC, Commitment of Traders, report this afternoon. They'll quantify that as of Tuesday of this week. But most believe that that will show still over 200,000 contracts of corn long being held by the managed money. In contrast, Andy, the commodity funds, managed money, have moved into a modest short position in beans. So the issue there is that it feels like that corn could be more vulnerable, if you will, to that liquidation. In contrast to beans, which has already seen the funds shift away from a very modest long position now to a short position. So, we're just going to have to wait and see what the trend is in terms of what the funds are going to do. But they have liquidated quite a bit. I believe it got up to 350,000-360,000 contracts, somewhere in that neighborhood. And it's now down to over 200. But that's still quite a bit, Andy. And that's why I think corn sector, if you will, could be more vulnerable on the downside.
Analysis from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. Now the settlements. May corn 6 3/4 down, 458.5. July finishes at 467.5, down almost a nickel. 2 cents lower September corn, 444.5. A nickel and a quarter higher on May beans, 1016. July an even nickel up at 1030. And August, 1026 3/4. Also an even nickel higher. 5.5 cents lower on the May wheat, 557. The meats went higher. April live cattle, 203.17, up $1.12. April lean hogs, 86.62, up an even dollar. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.